Hello, everyone. Welcome to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tom Silverstein. I'm here with your other host, Jim Osarski, and we're both sitting in the announcer's booth at U.S. Bank Stadium. We could do some pretty cool sound effects, you know. We could be that guy for that certain Brat company, you know, where he's yelling all the things in the stands. Anyway, here we are, hours after the Green Bay Packers ended their season at 4-6-1, and can start focusing on the draft and free agency now. Seriously, I do think their season ended here tonight. I believe the 24-17 loss to the Minnesota Vikings all but writes these guys off. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just I'm sure there's some math out there. You referenced it last week against Seattle. The simple math is losses to Washington, Seattle, and now Minnesota. You don't own those tiebreakers. You win out, which would require a win on the road in Chicago, is 9-6-1, which would require those other three teams to all be 9-7, and therefore finish, 3-6? I mean, maybe you could put that on Washington, but you don't really see Seattle and this Vikings team really falling apart like that. Major catastrophic quarterback injuries aside.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina has to play New Orleans twice.
Yeah. So that could be a problem. Yeah, right.
Minnesota has to play at New England and at Seattle. So there will be a little bit of a knocking off of each other. But, I mean, let's be realistic. I don't even know that they can win out. And I don't know that they can beat the Jets on the road.
The way they play on the road is just – and not that it's great at Lambeau. I mean, it's better, of course. But, yeah. Hey, look, New England – took their lumps, right, with the Jets. I mean, Tom, it's the same old story. It's a lot of stuff we talked about in the run-up to this game. It's the same problems every week. Mm-hmm. Third down, defense that plays well enough but can't quite finish it, and then colossal special teams mistakes. I mean, it's the same stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, when the same stuff keeps happening over and over again and it's starting to become a pattern, it's not good for Mike McCarthy. It's not a good look on Mike McCarthy. And we can argue whose fault it is offensively, whether it's McCarthy or whether it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to leave Rodgers out of the discussion of what's wrong with the offense, but ultimately it belongs to McCarthy, and the final record belongs to McCarthy, and special teams belongs to him, all those things. And I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year, but there's a lot of responsibility to be buried here.
I agree. But also, Tom, though, I mean, you know, whatever it is with play calling and all these things, look, their first 17 plays, over 100-plus yards, two touchdowns.
Yep, 119 yards, yeah. Two touchdowns.
Look, fourth and one, Davante Adams should get his hands on Harrison Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Good penetration, that should get blocked up. Like, that's not – so, you know what I mean? Like, if the players are going to kind of complain 10 days before, give us a chance to win, we can do all this great stuff. Okay. Fourth and one, get a yard. They can't. Aaron Rodgers hit a wide-open Davante Adams, and he can't. I mean, at the end of – so, I agree with you.
Right.
You don't replace the quarterbacks and the receivers and all these big contracts. So, if someone's a fall guy, it is the coaches. But I think – yes, same stuff is coaching, but the players have really not performed on a regular, consistent basis either.
Yeah.
So, this is what happens when you're 4-6, it's coaching and players. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's that combination.
I will tell you this, that today, I probably had seen it, but was in denial about it. But they are devoid of talent in certain areas. And those, I'm not in a denial about the fact that two of Ted Thompson's drafts left them in big trouble. But I thought they were a more talented team than they are. And I'm starting to think they're not. Just looking at where they need help starting next year, they've got to get another wide receiver. I mean, a veteran wide receiver. They've got to try to replace both guards. I think they need to have better guards. Taylor was really good last year. He's having an off year. They got to get some competition for him. Bulaga, I don't know how much longer he's going to last. They've got to get a tight end that can stretch the field. They've got to get a full-time safety who can play. I don't think they need to add corners, but they need a pass rusher. And they need a returner. So, you
that's
know,
a lot of, that's
I mean,
a
that's
lot of
a
position.
Lot of things.
And so this, and I'm sure we'll get into this once the season totally, actually, I don't think the season will get away. I think we saw how Brian Gutekunst viewed this roster with the cuts and some in-season moves. And the Packers, especially with Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, you'll never come out and say, it's going to be an off year.
Right.
It's a transition year. We're rebuilding.
We're retooling.
You're never going to use those words, but I think actions speak louder than words. So I think the GM had some actions that he could do.
Mm-hmm.
And the failed Khalil Mack trade, I think he knew if you can get that guy, this team needed that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious what that means with the head coach. Because look, if Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst are in agreement that this roster, like in their private, and even with Mike McCarthy, the silos, mm-hmm. are in agreement that this is just a what you said, a issue, talent issue, they may say, look, the head coach, you know, maybe he doesn't warrant an extension and maybe, you know, they got to deal that whole dance. But you're right, though, like when the quarterback isn't at the top of his game, all of those other holes are far more evident.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, if he hits, look, the pass that Equanimeous St. Brown, whatever, that's a touchdown. He needs to complete that pass to a wide open Davante Adams. And now it's a 3-point game with mm-hmm. 2 minutes left and maybe, you know, whatever. We've seen too much of that. And I think if he had been playing to a certain level, I think this team's 500 or if not a game or two above.
I think so too. I think great quarterbacks overcome situations like this. I mean, you talk about a Ben Roethlisberger and the relationship he had with Todd Haley, you know, in the beginning there, and they still won, you know. And eventually that relationship got better, and Roethlisberger has a outstanding record. I don't know what's wrong with Rodgers, and I don't know why he's either soured on McCarthy, soured on the offense, or what. But he does not look like the player he was even at the start of last year. And some of the throws he's missing are just they're astounding.
Yeah, it's the easy, quote-unquote, easy throws. Because it's one thing to say, wow, maybe he's not putting it on a shoulder or in a certain little window. I mean, it's the third and two to Marquez Valdez-Scantling last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Equanimeous St. Like, why? And I know he's trying to get the ball out fast on that particular play, so he threw it without laces, but
He does that all the time.
Yeah, the Adams touchdown. I mean, we could go through all of the throws.
I thought there was another Adams play.
There was another one, yeah.
The one with Xavier Rhodes on a third and four,
yeah.
I think.
So I think every loss, they appear in the wins too, but every loss, we could go back at the film and check all those off where you're just, you know, Valdez-Scantling, he's hitting the back of the leg a few times
mm-hmm.
throughout the year. Those are your sort of regular throws that he's missing. And I don't, you know, fans were asking me, Pete Doherty, our colleague at PackersNews.com, looked to me on one to say, you know, some of the back foot, you know, deliveries, even in a clean pocket. And so is he seeing ghosts? Is he run around too much? I don't know. There's all those weird things that maybe factor into it.
Yeah. And, you know, you see him capable of making some great throws. I mean, during that drive when he hit St. Brown twice with a couple of passes on 23 and 35 or something like that, he whizzed the ball. I mean, they were just great throws. You saw some really impressive throws, and then you just see these misses and these taking sacks on third down. I don't know where the disconnect is. And I know the protection hasn't been great, and they've got to improve that. They got to improve the interior. But that's never stopped them before. I mean, they've had some bad lines.
Yeah, it's little things. Tom, you mentioned the sack. They've now given up, or taken, however you want to phrase it, I guess, 20 sacks on third downs this year.
Wow.
And, you know, one of them came, it was third and short, I think, and Jamal Williams was available.
Yeah, third and four. And right across the middle. I think it was Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Williams.
It was Aaron Jones at third down. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just.
And the thing was, he didn't have to complete it. Just throw
get rid
it.
Of Yeah, just get rid of
and,
it.
And live to, you know, another right. down at fourth and four.
Right.
They were on the Minnesota 47-yard line.
So you know, that has continued as well. And again, you're right. I guess it is the chicken and egg to a degree, as we said, where if it's the same things over and over and it's coaching. But again, you know, I'll also go back to, you know, as he said on the fourth down play, Tom, you know, I was trying to give us something, trying to do. So basically he listened to his players.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, and yeah, I know fans were mad. Why would you run it? Look, Aaron Jones was 4 for 4 on and ones. 3 for 3 on third down, or all on third down. They're all third and ones. I mean, all year, give it to Aaron Jones, run it on third mm-hmm. down or fourth down, give your team a chance. And so when the coach does it, it's got to get blocked. It's got to, you know.
It was inches, third
inches.
And inches. You know, and people wanted a quarterback sneak. I'll have to go and look and see how Minnesota lined up. But a lot of times teams take that away. They put two big guys right over the center.
Yeah.
Plus, this guy can't drive his legs. You know.
And quite frankly, even with the new rules being what they are, he's had concussions. You just don't want – to me, Tom, I don't think you should have your quarterback taking shots to the head, which is what's going to happen in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
To me, those are the plays that are on the player. In my opinion.
Yeah.
And that changed the game, because then a short field goal, and guess what? There was a special teams blunder. 20-yard return plus an illegal formation penalty adds another 5 yards. All of a sudden, you know, you take the calculated risk of maybe giving up a field goal.
Right.
And you live with that. But then to back it up with the special teams error, and now they've only got to go 30 yards for a touchdown, which they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the Tremont Williams gaffe, you know, only compounds things, you know, granted. And this, Tom, this was the most interesting thing to me. I know I'm talking here, but it.
Mm-hmm.
So Tremont Williams, whatever, like total mind meld. Vikings, they stall. And instead of kicking the field goal to go up 13, Mike Zimmer's like, you know what? I feel good enough leading by 10 to say, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
I didn't have a problem with that decision, because if they don't get it, it's still a two possession game, and if they kick a field goal there, it's a two possession game. So
two touchdowns.
Either
at least,
way,
though.
Yeah.
It
would have been.
They would have needed two touchdowns to win.
24. It would have been 27-14.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they need two touchdowns to win, anyways.
If by not going for it, I mean, you could still go to overtime. I guess a touchdown field goal gets you to overtime.
Okay.
Whereas if you're up by 13, you need two touchdowns to win. There's no chance at coming back. And I, Yeah, there's the math with that, Tom, but the way I viewed it in the moment was Mike Zimmer feels that Aaron Rodgers and that offense can't score twice.
Right.
They can't score twice in 5 minutes.
That's sad.
That's how I viewed that in the moment.
Yes. No, that's a great way to think about it. I hadn't thought about it that way. But it's the same thing. I agree with that. And it comes back to that Rams game where everyone assumed that with 2 minutes left, they were going to go down and win the game. Well, now that I see some of their two-minute offense, I don't know that they would have scored against the Rams. I don't know.
I mean, it was, the one in that particular scenario, I think they just needed a field goal. So maybe instead of having to go, 75 yards, they needed to go 65 or 50. But you're right, though. Why would anyone assume that at this point?
Yeah. And here's a thing that really puzzles me, and maybe it's not as puzzling as I think, but how do you start out with this great script? I mean, they started out great in this game. They started out great against Seattle. They started out pretty decent against New England. Not great, but decent against New England. And they started out great against the Rams. I mean, you've seen these scripted, schemed plays that were terrific.
Fake jet sweep, toss the other direction. It was very Chiefs-ish.
Yeah.
Very Saints-ish.
And twice in 2 weeks, they run a bunch formation and have a crackback play, and Jones runs around the edge for an easy touchdown. And then after that, it's just like
the motions. Nothing. Yeah, the motions are gone. The bunches are gone. I mean, the only really variety I saw, was again them trying to get Devontae Adams in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's interesting because what's the rule that you can't run the ninth play that you ran? Why can't you run that on play 27?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel it that worked and it called for it.
Yeah. I mean, if you get that look again.
If you get the look. And I know it's all predicated on that stuff. And I understand there's 40 seconds at a time and all that stuff. But it's just, you're right, though. I mean, and that's such a reversal from the start of the year with what we were talking about, the slow starts. This offense can't get going. Why? Mm-hmm. It takes them to the third quarter to, they had that weird first half, second half scoring differential.
Yeah.
And now it's like they've kind of figured out the start part of it. If it's not one thing, it's another.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to say that this would have been the difference of the game, but why are they not at least giving Tanyan a chance at tight end? Since he's the one guy who can seemingly run by people, one of the people who can run by someone. I think teams have figured out how to play Scantling.
Oh, yeah.
I think, I'm not sure I need to look at it closer, but it's clear that he's not getting open anymore.
No.
Or Rodgers, you'd assume he'd be throwing him the ball. Devontae Adams can get open anytime he wants, it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Even with Xavier Rhodes, it's dumb for, well, what happened really in the second half is that Minnesota, which really isn't a cover two team, went to cover two. Which they didn't know, and the Packers weren't prepared for it.
No, and if Packers fans can recall, I mean, that was the issue all those years against the Lovie Smith Bears defenses. If you played really fundamentally sound cover two, it kind of gives him problems. Those games they were prepared for it. You're right, they're not prepared for it, and I don't think they have the other playmakers to also account for. You mentioned the tight end.
Yeah, you need a tight end.
I mean, they hit Jimmy Graham for two, nice completions on that last drive up the middle, but mm-hmm. I think there was only one other attempt to Graham up the seam that just kind of out of his fingertips, which, he caught the other two, so I don't know if that ball was just out of his reach, but you're right. I mean, that's the thing. They split Mercedes Lewis out wide a bunch in the first quarter, and a lot of those scripted plays. I mean, Tanya, that's an interesting one. You wonder if he didn't have a good week of practice.
Yeah, is he not running the routes the way they want it? They wanted Mercedes Lewis, obviously, because they came out running the ball. They wanted to run the ball, and that's smart. They needed a blocker. But
what does it say about Robert Tonyan if they're going to put Jimmy Graham out there with a broken left thumb, who wasn't a great blocker anyway? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you watched. So the way Jimmy Graham blocked on Sunday night was forearm and shoulder. It was, you know, he kept that hand out of the play. Mm-hmm. So he would use his right hand and then sort of, I mean, that's apparently that's a better blocking option. Mm-hmm. Than a two-handed Robert Tonyan,
yeah.
I guess.
I mean, I give credit to Graham.
Oh, yeah, for playing. No, for sure. That's not a knock on Jimmy. Right, I guess what it means is maybe whatever Robert's supposed to be doing,
yes, right.
He's not doing.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, we can go on the offense. We can talk about, you know, just the lack of explosiveness. You know, the one thing the Vikings really did was they kept Jones from busting a big run. You know, he's averaged 4.2, but his longest run was 11 yards. That was a big win for them. Let's switch over to the other side of the ball. It's obvious, if anyone thought that Mike Daniels wasn't carrying his weight, all he needed to do was watch this game, because they were nothing without Mike Daniels.
Yeah. Kyler Fackrell disappeared.
Yeah. Suddenly. All of a sudden. Yeah. how did that happen? Right. You know, it's because of Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark together form a really formidable pair in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, they do. And it's, you know, we've talked about it on here the last couple podcasts, Tom, is the pressures Mike Daniels has created. It really has led to sacks for other people. Mm-hmm. And Kirk Cousins took two sacks. To me, those were coverage sacks by Dean Lowry and Kenny Clark, because I did think the back end held up their end of the bargain mm-hmm. as best they could. but Kirk Cousins, frankly, had all day to look and do whatever he wanted
he
to do.
He did, yeah.
And that's a guy who will give you the ball to intercept if you pressure him. Mm-hmm. And it just never... He was never uncomfortable.
Every time Patton blitzed, and he usually blitzed from a slot to try to get at Cousins really quickly, they picked it up. They picked it up and gashed him. And Patton, I think, just said, I can't do it. You know, I'm going to have to hope that my defense holds. And, you know, I can't pressure the guy, because every time he did, it resulted in a wide open wide receiver.
And the thing is, so we're talking about a 24 point output, which actually is pretty good to me in this day and age. 10 of which, as we said earlier, came on a 31 yard field mm-hmm. and a 44 yard field. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially turnovers. You know, so to me, again, I think while it wasn't great, and there definitely are criticisms, to me, Tom, I thought this was a winning defensive effort. The offense scored 17 points mm-hmm. indoors. Mason Crosby didn't miss a kick off turf for the first time this year, believe it or not. It's just mm-hmm. kind of, but they didn't even get in a chance for a 54 yarder. I mean, after those first two possessions, where did it go? So to me, you're right. There should have been more pressure. There probably were things the defense could have done, but I don't. You know, they held the Vikings to under 100 yards rushing. Through, I mean, that was almost an ineffectual part of the Vikings game.
I thought Matthews played the run pretty well. He had a couple times he gave up the edge that was bad, but he played physically. He just didn't get to the quarterback. I don't know why he had so much trouble against Riley Reiff, because he should have won some matchups on that, and he didn't.
And curiously, Tom, when Reiff went out with an injury briefly, and so the Vikings had a backup left tackle in, it was Reggie Gilbert on that side. Mm. And to sort of compensate for Reiff not being in,
Reiff, or was it O'Neal who went out?
O'Neal went out later.
Oh, okay.
When Reiff went out earlier, so it was Reggie Gilbert on that side, and mm-hmm. actually one of the screens to Dalvin Cook was over Gilbert's head. So they sort of did some quick game stuff and tried to neutralize or help themselves to mm-hmm. get Reiff back in. They didn't take advantage of some offensive line issues for sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you one guy that I'm impressed with, and I think, I don't know how good of a player he is. I think he's okay for some situations, but I think he's pretty good for your defense, is Antonio Morrison. I think you got to have a few guys like that. Guys who, I mean, I saw when they were towards the end of the game and guys had their daubers down. I mean, this guy was still had his pants on fire and wanted to hit somebody, you know. I think you got to have some more guys like him, you know. Maybe I thought Breland would bring that to the team, but, you know, he hasn't been able to play. You know, Alexander brings that to the team. They need to find, you know, Josh Jones brings that, but, man, he missed some tackles today that were pretty bad. I don't know. Anyway, I just think that guy is worth bringing back. You know, he doesn't need to be a starter necessarily, but he's a tough dude.
Yeah, no. You know, especially against teams that want to run the ball. You know, he's sort of that old school linebacker that the league is sort of trying to get out of the league in a way. But he's still athletic enough that he's not going to be a complete liability if, you know, if it turns into a pat, you know, that RPO type of situation.
Let's. I guess this is nothing for nothing, but if the Packers had Daniels, King, and Breland, do they have a better chance? Is there a chance they win this game?
I think so, because it was proven. I don't think this is speculation. Mm-hmm. It's proven that Mike Daniels affects the pocket, and the interior of the Vikings line was all backups, and have been. I mean, Packers fans saw it on last Sunday night against Chicago. I mean, they give up pressures. Mm-hmm. So yes, I do believe that means Kirk Cousins moves. That means he probably completes fewer passes. Mm-hmm. And we saw, and again, to me, this is not speculation. We saw the first half of the first Vikings game when it was Jair Alexander and Kevin King healthy. Mm-hmm. Where was Adam Thielen in that game? He was nowhere until Kevin King was out with the groin injury. Mm-hmm. So I think Breland definitely would have added some depth there for sure. You're not having, maybe Josh Jackson plays a little less or whatever, but look, Laquan Treadwell still had 3 targets. Someone named Robinson had 2 targets. You know what I mean? Like the Kyle Rudolph they had to go to when really all year long the tight end was sort of, you know, he had voiced his displeasure at not getting a lot of passes. So I think they had done a good enough job of covering as long as they could. So yeah, I think if you had those 2 corners, it's not the easy pitch and catch that we saw in certain instances.
Let's look at their schedule rest of the way. So they've got Arizona on Sunday, which is a very winnable game.
Yes.
After that, I believe it's
Atlanta at home.
Atlanta at home.
Which should be, you know, Atlanta's dangerous, but I think out of the dome, they're 4-6.
I know, but I'm not counting them out. Julio Jones could run circles around these guys, and Calvin Ridley's coming back, and their defense isn't any good, but so what? You know,
the Packers can't beat anyone.
That game gets in a shootout. I'll take Atlanta all the way with their receivers and that running back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess for me, I look at Green Bay in December, an Atlanta team that has no hope. And, you know, at that point, maybe King is back and that secondary is a little healthier.
Maybe it's a little different. Then they, so after Atlanta, then they go play the Jets, right? And then they come back. And is it
Chicago? It's at Chicago, yeah.
At Chicago.
And then they finish at Detroit.
So, I don't know. Maybe they can run it. But, you know, the one thing that will be playing in their favor is that final game. I would bet that Chicago has the division wrapped up by then. And then they might not play their starters.
Yeah, because unless there's, again, another kind of collapse of sorts, Chicago, whether it's the division, But with the Rams and the Saints, I really don't think Chicago's even playing for a home game or a bye. Not a home game, but a bye. I think that they're out of that running. I guess if Chicago somehow shocks LA and wins that game, that's a different story. But you're right. I mean, that could benefit Green Bay in that regard.
Yeah. Before we leave, let's go over injuries. One that was not good is David Bakhtiari. So he goes in, he hurts his knee, comes out, they work on it on the sideline. He's okay, comes back. He comes back in the next series. He injures it in a different way. And he was kind of coy about it, but I get the sense that it wasn't good. And who knows? Maybe they're without him. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be.
I will find out on Monday. But yeah, that's a huge deal. Trevor Davis, I think his season is over.
What? Yeah, I hate to joke, but I kind of will. Did he get hurt running out of the tunnel at halftime? What happened? You know what I mean? It was just, all of a sudden it's, a guy who you bring back for that spark, and he kind of gave it to you a little bit with a great tackle and a really good return.
He's got to be, I don't really blame him. It's his hamstring.
Right, again. Yeah.
And the guy's got something wrong with his hamstring.
Right. So. And I wonder if it affected him before the half, because I think we all looked at each other when he took a fair catch with four to five yards of room.
Right.
It was perfect punt return window. You've got 5 yards of head start at your own 30, and he fair caught it.
I didn't even think of that. That's a good point. Yeah, you wonder whether that was an issue. And that maybe, I can't remember, but they might have taken him out after that. What other injuries? Kentrell Bryce?
Yeah, was hurt the ankle again on the first Vikings touchdown. He tried to stop and plant and just fell down, came back, and then was evaluated for concussion after a pretty severe helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah.
Did not return after that.
I do want to say, Rodgers made some comments in a story this past week about, how proud he is about getting through the year with his knee injury and stuff like that. And, yeah, that's all good. But guys like Kentrell Bryce, Bulaga, I mean, these guys are taping themselves together to be able to play. And so I don't know if you're patting yourself on the back for, being able to play a less combative position is a good idea, because your teammates hear that stuff. And, if I'm Brian Bulaga or Kentrell Bryce or, anybody like that who's just grinded through the season, I don't know. Anyway.
Lane Taylor was out, quadriceps injury. He actually went down with Bulaga on a play. Bulaga was slow to get up, but did. Lane Taylor did not return with that quadriceps.
Yeah, they collided. Or Lane Taylor collided with somebody.
Somebody, yeah. So that might be a deep bruise or something that,
might be something they can work out. Justin McCray didn't play very well. He and Bulaga had, Bakhtiari had a problem on a stunt. And then he and Spriggs gave up a sack in 0.2 seconds. I mean, it's just embarrassing. So is that about it?
Yeah, it's, look, every team deals with injuries. Maybe they get lucky next week with Randall Cobb and Kevin King and Breland. But you're right, though. If those offensive line issues, that's disconcerting. Arizona, they might be able to get through it. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, there's a reason they're playing, the teams they're playing at home have losing records. But they're still NFL teams, and Chandler Jones is still in Arizona, as far as I can recall. I mean, so they're you can't, especially as Bakhtiari. I mean, if you're rolling out there with McCray playing the other guard and Jason Spriggs, that really affects a game plan.
If these guys got anything to play for, it's a winning record. The Packers have had two seasons with a losing record since 91, I believe, last year in 2008. I mean, if there's anything to play for, that's definitely it. some sense and of pride.
Then they get the coach another 1 year extension.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
No.
I honestly, we're going to find out about that. And I'll leave. All the predictions in the world by us
right.
don't matter. That'll play out.
Yeah. I don't know. Detroit fired a guy who was 9-7.
Yeah.
It's going real well.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that rarely happens in this league.
It does, but I could see it still happening. Yeah. I just don't know who's making the call there.
Right.
We'll devote a podcast to that towards the end of the season and
all the fans are screaming, "Do it now! Do it! It Thursday!"
They want McCarthy fired tomorrow.
Right.
I don't think it's going to happen. All right. Anyway, from U.S. Bank Stadium, we are going to say so long, and please, if you're around, if you live in Milwaukee, come and join me and Leroy Butler. We'll be at the Potawatomi Casino. Festivities start at 5:15. We'll be doing our five questions with Leroy Butler and also videotaping X's and O's, and you'll have a chance to get some autographs and ask some questions. So that's at the Fire Pit Lounge at Potawatomi Casino. So be sure you're there.
Yeah. Tom does not charge for autographs.
I do not. It's totally free. And, you know, you get what you pay for. Anyway, thanks a lot, and we will talk to you later in the week.
See you.